Did you guys have a great Christmas? Our God is so good, isn't he? His favor is just awesome. So today we are going to talk about unexpected warriors and unexpected peace. Identity and mission are found in the sovereign Lord. But first things first, we're going to have a poll. Who is your favorite comic superhero? DC or Marvel? Any DC? I don't know. I hear a lot of Marvel. Okay, that's all right. We're going to talk about both of them and how we can live into that superhero status. We never knew. Well, the characters in these stories are often very unassuming, nondescript, everyday people who live boring lives with compelling struggles, just like us. For instance, Peter Parker, Spider-Man, raised by his aunt and uncle, a very small teenager, he does not fit the heroic stereotype. But when he encounters a radioactive spider, he is gifted with superpowers and becomes the amazing Spider-Man who saves lives, fights villains, and prevents disasters. Doesn't that sound great? Wouldn't you like to be able to take part in that? I think if we do look deep inside, all of us want to be that person who makes a difference in our world. But that idea may be so far from our reality, we just can't live into it. But as a child of God, we have an inheritance through Jesus Christ, an identity that he has purchased for us to live into as a mighty warrior. A mighty warrior who makes a difference every day in our neighborhood, in our home, and in our church. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, I thank you for this day. We thank you for Christmas, the remembering, Lord, of your birth. Father, as we move into 2022, we choose to live in our mighty warrior identity, God. We are in a battle, and if we haven't felt this identity, perhaps it's because we're unaware of the battle. So, Lord, help us to be smart, intelligent, to know what is going on in the spiritual realm and what is going on in front of us. Let us be bold in our identity with you as Christ being our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. So we are going to Judges 6. Now, Judges is not necessarily written to us, but it is written for us. And we have here the map of Canaan. This is the promised land. And there was a lot of war going on. There was a lot of oppression going on. And in Judges 2:16, it says the Lord raised up judges to rescue Israel from their attackers, so there would be peace in the land. Now we have Deborah, the mother of Israel, in chapters 4 and 5. And then we have Gideon coming in chapter 6. So Israel has been tempted by the religion of the other nations. They've adopted a pluralistic lifestyle, bundling the religion, a little bit of this, a little bit of Yahweh, a little bit of God, a little bit of Baal. And they've accepted the easier lifestyle away from God's commands. And now they've brought calamity upon themselves. They're just giving God lip service. But they're crying out to him because they feel abandoned. God, though, has a plan for his people. Let's turn to Judges 6. We can all turn there. You have a hard copy Bible right in front of you, or you can use your smartphone. Judges 6, Old Testament. So the Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. And so the Lord handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years. And the Midianites were so cruel that the Israelites made hiding places for themselves in the mountains and caves. They are hiding out. That's how afraid they are. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the marauders from Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east would attack Israel, camping in the land and destroying their crops as far away as Gaza. They left the Israelites with nothing to eat, taking all the sheep, goats, cattle, and donkeys. These enemy hordes coming with their livestock in tents were as thick as locusts. They arrived on droves of camels, too numerous to count, and they stayed until the land was stripped bare. Can you imagine? taking all your resources, having nothing to live on. So Israel was reduced to starvation by the Midianites, and the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help. They remembered the Lord in their time of need. Verse 8, the Lord sent a prophet. He sent somebody. He heard them. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of slavery in Egypt. I rescued you from those Egyptians, from all who oppressed you. I drove out your enemies and gave you their land. I told you, I am the Lord your God. You must not worship the gods of the Amorites. Now in Hebrew, this word worship means fear. So we have this interesting combination of fear and worship. But you have not listened to me. Verse 11. The angel of the Lord comes to Gideon, sits beneath the great tree at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash of the clan of Abiezer. And Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press. Now, usually you're threshing wheat out in the open, right? So the wind can blow away the chaff. But he is hiding in a wine press. That's how scared he is. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Mighty hero, mighty warrior, the Lord is with you." And what does Gideon say? How does he address this person? He says, "Sir," Sir Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened?" Have we thought about that too? Lord, where are you? I feel abandoned. Why has this happened? Where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites. Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go with the strength you have. Go with the strength you have." I feel like he's telling this to us. "And rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you." But Lord, okay, now he's calling him Lord. But that's still a title. He's not recognizing who God is. And Gideon says, "How can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest, and I am the youngest." And God says, "I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man." Well, you know, there are thousands and thousands within this nation. Well, God sees what you don't. He sees Gideon's potential. He sees your potential long before we ever realize it. He sees Gideon as a mighty hero. But Gideon sees himself as a farmer providing for his family, hiding out in a wine press because he's so scared. He cannot even live into his farmer identity. And he should be scared because the Midianites have killed his brother. They've destroyed his crops. So he's living in constant fear and oppression. In fact, his identity as a farmer has been overtaken by fear. And yet, they are fearfully worshiping the gods of other nations. Fear has become that bully that has pushed away his rightful God-given identity. Fear can push away our God-given identity as well. And then that hinders us from our God-given purpose and our God-given mission that the Lord gives to each one of us. Well, Gideon is not convinced. Can you tell? He's not convinced that he's that mighty hero this angel is looking for. So in verse 17, Gideon says, "If you are truly going to help me, show me a sign." Okay, now how many people have asked for that before? Have you asked for a sign? Well, we're going to find out what God thinks about that. "Show me a sign to prove that it is really you, Lord, speaking to me. Don't go away until I come back, Lord. I'm going to go cook up this tasty dish for you. Stay right there. Don't move." So he does. He brings it back. A young cooked goat with a basket of bread. He sets it on a rock. And the angel of the Lord takes his staff, touches the offering, and what does it say? The fire consumes it. What is Gideon thinking? He's scared to death now. "Oh, sovereign Lord, I am doomed. I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." So in the text, we see him addressing God now as the sovereign Lord. So sovereign, he's recognizing God's authority, God's control over him, over his tribe, over all the earth. This is Yahweh, the God of Moses. So Gideon has not been able to live in his God identity because he hasn't recognized the sovereign Lord. The Lord, he thinks, has abandoned Israel. But that's not true. That's the deception. God has always been there in their midst. And he's always been there for us. You cannot live in your God-given identity without recognizing that the Lord God is sovereign. He has given you the mighty warrior identity to live into, to overcome. But we have to realize that our identity is found in the sovereign Lord. And in Isaiah 46, 10, we hear, I make known from the end, the end from the beginning, and my purpose will stand. God knows the end from the beginning. He knows all the days already. Doesn't that make you want to trust in him? That he knows the end from the beginning? He knows all your days? And we find this out again in Psalm 139. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Your eyes saw my unformed body before one day was written in the book. Before one of them came to be, he knew you. He had a plan for you. Your identity, the essence of who you are, your personality, your gifts, all those are authored by your Creator, by Yahweh God. And that is why we cannot know our true identity without knowing the sovereign Lord, who is overall and in control. Our God is loving, kind, and gracious. He wants us to know his character so we can know who we are in him. His love is unending. And why this is so important is because our identity is attached to this relationship that we have with him. The closer we are to him, the more we can live in our God-given identity. God never stops trying to build a relationship with us. He is always there. And we see this in Judges 6. God sent the prophet first, right? But they didn't listen. But then God comes to Gideon's workplace. Has he come to your workplace? I'm sure he has. He meets us everywhere we are, but we have to recognize him as sovereign Lord. Now, Gideon has no idea of his mighty warrior potential. What about you? Are you aware of your mighty warrior potential? Because the enemy has another identity that he is so happy to sell us. A counterfeit identity reinforced with social media, with advertising. I have to look a certain way. My hair has to be a certain way. My makeup. I need to be smart and edgy to be successful. Men, you have to drive a certain vehicle or work out every day. Or your front lawn needs to be manicured perfectly. Or your home or your garage has to be organized. So when the door's up, everyone sees. No, right? Identity is found in the sovereign Lord in a close relationship. I love this quote by one of my professors, Old Testament professor at North Park. He says, identity is lost when our roots come loose. Identity is lost when those roots come loose. It is vital to surround ourselves with people who are fully devoted, who love the Lord, who are going on that pathway, living into their mighty warrior identity, that are in discipleship, in fellowship, in mission, our three roots. Now, you've heard this before. You become the average of your five best friends. Or maybe you have three best friends. You become the sum average of those people. Okay, this is a special message for those looking for a mate, for a spouse. You want to marry the person that you really like because someday you may look like them. Someday you might have their characteristics. I can say there's a certain amount of truth in that. After being married, I don't know, 34 years? I forget. 34, 35. There's some truth to that. So choose wisely. You want to spend time with friends who love God, who are building his kingdom. So those roots are deep, so they cannot be shaken. So your God-given identity is rooted and cannot be shaken. So what are some next steps to securing this identity? Well, number one, you already know it. Anchor yourself in Scripture. Be in the Word. Go to Ephesians. Find out what your spiritual inheritance is. You are chosen. You are redeemed. God has a plan for your life. You have every spiritual blessing you need to live into the identity that he has purchased for you on the cross. Our cross right over there reminding us of that. I like to take Scripture and then form life phrases. So I've made a few of these. Women, words to live by. I am the daughter of the King of Kings. God has given me everything I need to do for what he has called me to do. I will not compare myself with other women because God has made us all beautifully unique. Through Christ, I am strong, I am gentle, I am fierce, and I am compassionate. For you men, I am the son of the King of Kings. I love my family like Christ loved the church, giving himself up for her. I will fight for purity, guarding my eyes and my heart from tempting situations. The world will be different because I serve God today. Those are words that we can live by, that we can post on our mirror, that we can put in our purse or our wallet, where we can see them every day. Because the enemy wants to feed us something else. Don't let him do that. Don't let him take your mindset into a field far away from what God has planted for you already. The fruit of the Spirit, the revelation and knowledge of having the mind of Christ that we find in Corinthians. Write these words down to live by. They will shift your thinking because identity is embedded in our mindset. We need that mighty warrior identity as we move into our future. We do not know what the future has for us, but our God does. And we can trust in our sovereign Lord without any doubts. But you know what we're going to find out in this story? God is okay with our doubts. So the second thing we can do, join a life group. How many people do we have in a life group? All right. We have 15 life groups. Thank you, Sister Valerie. 15 life groups, one for every single person. They meet throughout the week. Nothing can replace that connection that we make on Sunday morning, and then it's carried out throughout the week. We have the encouragement of our brothers and sisters praying for us, holding us up, walking through life with us. Can you find that in other places? Oh, well, there's probably some other places that, I don't know, will give you an identity. You'll think you're welcomed in, but there's nothing like the Lord's people. We know how to celebrate what Jesus has done for us and how to witness to how God is working in our lives. Third, find a mentor, someone who sees your potential. So often we miss it. We need someone to seriously challenge us and meet with us at least once a month to grow our roots deeper in Christ, helping us hone the skills that God has already given us and to point out new ones. Now, we have leaders in our church that are ready to walk with you. So if anyone wants to be mentored, let a pastor know. Let a leader know, because we are ready to do that. For me, my mentor was when I was very young, but then through my teenage and young adult years, it was my mom. So that's a little different because my mom was an authority figure. But she knew how to push me. She didn't push me to excel, but she pulled me into my potential because I had no idea what my potential was. I was happy and content to just go to school, be in a few music activities and sports, and that was it. I did not need to do anything else. But no. She challenged me to be in 4-H, to be a leader, to be in more music activities, to play in front of people, to speak in front of people. I would have never done that. Why would I want to do that? That makes you nervous. It gives you anxiety. But the more you do it, it becomes easier. God goes before us. Without her, I would not be standing up here today. So I give thanks to my mother and to God for giving me her. So once Gideon realizes he has seen an angel of the Lord, he is really afraid. And in verse 22, Gideon says, verse 23, the Lord says to him, "Peace to you, Gideon, don't be afraid. Peace to you, you shall not die." And what does Gideon do? He builds an altar to the Lord there, and he names it Yahweh Shalom. The Lord is peace. And that altar that Gideon built, the text says, that altar is still there to this day. How important is it for us to know the Lord of peace? Shalom, harmony, working together. No matter what's going on around you, we can be anchored in the Prince of Peace. Now, Gideon needs to know this because he's been treating God like a common person. I know I have been guilty of that, treating God as a common person. You know, there's those times when he is so close and I talk to him as a friend, but then there are those times when I revere God and I stand or kneel or lie flat on the floor in his awesomeness, because I know I am the child and he is the father, and we cannot ever forget that. Knowing our true identity in God, when we know that, then we can move in mission and have his peace. But there is something that is threatening Gideon's peace, and it could be threatening our peace. And we see it in verse 25. So if you will go with me to verse 25, 625. "That night the Lord said to Gideon, 'Take the second bull from your father's herd, the one that's 7 years old, take it to the father's altar to Baal, a pagan god, and cut down the Asherah pole standing beside it. Then build an altar to the Lord your God here on this hilltop sanctuary.'" Notice that God is telling him exactly what to do, exactly what needs to be removed, and exactly what needs to go in its place. So Gideon takes his servants, as the Lord commanded, and we notice that maybe he's not quite in his mighty warrior mentality because he goes at night. He's still afraid of the other people and what they will think. Does this resonate with us? Maybe a little bit. So early the next morning, the people of the town do come out. They begin to stir. Someone noticed that the altar of Baal has been broken down and the Asherah pole beside it has been cut down. And in its place is a new altar. And on it were the remains of the bull that had been sacrificed to the sovereign Lord. And the people say, "Well, who did this? Let's find him." And they find out it was Gideon. And they say to his dad, Joash, "Bring out your son," they demanded. "He must die for destroying the altar of Baal and for cutting down the Asherah pole." But Joash shouted to the mob that confronted him, "Why are you defending Baal? Will you argue his case? Whoever pleads his case will be put to death by morning. If Baal truly is a god, let him defend himself and destroy the one who broke down his altar." From then on, Gideon was called Jerubbaal, which means "let Baal defend himself." Baal defend himself. You see how holiness and mission align. This is Gideon's first job, first assignment: remove the idols. This is a big deal to God because the Midianite religion is very political. An attack on a god is often seen as an attack on the local government. Idols are sacred to villages. There are family idols with identity attached to it. And these family idols are placed in strategic places where they can be seen and where they can be admired. This shows how immoral God's people had become. Instead of condemning the Baals, they are protecting them. They are fearing them in worship. This is how Israel's roots have come loose. And it hurts. It's hurting them, and it's hurting God. Their relationship is broken because they've bundled this mix. A little bit of Baal worship, a little bit of Yahweh worship. It hurts us, and it hurts God. So when we first approach this narrative, the conflict is clearly between the Midianites and Israel, right? But God sees this differently. He's looking down from heaven, and he sees them worshiping these idols. This is not a battle between people. This is a spiritual battle, and his people have been pulled into it. And now Israel is feeling abandoned. We can feel like that too. Abandoned by God. We don't recognize his presence, but he is always there. Sometimes we are tempted to trade our time with him for something that we believe is more significant and more powerful. Don't be deluded. There is nothing more significant or powerful than having a relationship and spending time with God. Another reason this is so important is because the lure of the Baals and idols, our idols, have that deluding influence. They are controlled by someone. They're controlled by the prince of darkness, Ephesians 6:12. Our battle has never been against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. This is why we have to remove the idols, or we will never experience God's peace. There cannot be shalom. There cannot be harmony where there are other things that we are worshiping. God can deal with our doubts and with our fear, with our questions. He doesn't mind. He's the sovereign God. But we have to deal with our unholiness and with our sin. So in verse 34, what is the result of Gideon's obedience? He is clothed with the spirit of the living God, just in time for him to move in his mighty hero identity into his mission that God has given him. Because in verse 33, we see that the opposing sides, all the other clans, have gathered and they are ready to fight. So Gideon asked for another sign because Gideon's still a little unsure. And God is not intimidated by that. It's okay. He understands Gideon. He understands me and he understands you. And so Gideon asked for two miracles. You've heard this before. Verse 36, Gideon said to God, "If you're truly going to use me, God, to rescue Israel as you've promised, prove it to me this way. I will put a wool fleece on the threshing floor tonight. And if the fleece is wet with dew in the morning, but the ground is dry, then I will know that you are going to help me rescue Israel, just as you've promised." That's just what happened. That's what God did for him. And then Gideon said, as if, you know, he's thinking, maybe God's going to be a little upset. "Don't be angry with me, God, but once more, grant my request. Let me use the fleece for one more test. This time, let the fleece remain dry while the ground around it is wet with dew." So that night, God did as Gideon asked. Is our God patient or what? He is. The fleece was dry in the morning, but the ground was covered with dew. We serve a good God. Our sovereign Lord is so patient with us. Psalm 18:13 says, his gentleness His patience makes us great. Well, I have to say this about Gideon. He didn't have Ephesians 2:10, one of our favorite verses. For we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we could do the things that he planned long, long ago, before you were born. He had things for you to do. He had a job for you. He had friends for you. He had people for you to witness to. And you have only met part of them. There is more in your future as a mighty warrior of God, as a messenger of his good news. God has paved our path, and he waits for you to acknowledge him as sovereign Lord, to deal with our sin, to be filled with the Spirit, and to move out in our mission in his peace, in his shalom, in harmony. Isn't this interesting? We have a battle that is going to happen, and God reveals himself as the Lord of peace. That's an interesting contrast. Now, if we go to chapter 7, Gideon's ready to go to battle. He is fired up. He is tired of living in oppression. He's dealt with his sin. He's removed his household idols. He's embraced his mighty warrior mentality, his identity. And he has gathered all the clans. And he has 20,000, imagine it, 20,000 people gathered for battle. How would you be feeling about that? Pretty good? Proud of yourself? Well, God works in mysterious ways. He says, Gideon, that is too many troops. Too many. If I let you all go to battle, you are going to boast that you won this war. God does not like giving his glory to another person because he is sovereign. He's already worked it out. He wants us to believe in him and to trust in him, that he is going before us, that it's not our strength. He will give his strength, but he is going before us. And so he goes to Gideon and he says, tell the men if they're afraid, that those men who are afraid can go home. So he does that. Gideon's left with 10,000. Oh, now that's a good sized troop, right? We still have an edge. We can do it. Oh, no. God says, that's too many, Gideon. You have too many troops. We need to cut it down some more. So he gives him a test, going to a stream and drinking water. And based on how the men exercise that test is who is chosen. God whittles the troops down to 300 men who are going to fight thousands and thousands of Midianites. Wow. What is God telling us in this passage? There's danger in operating in our own self-sufficiency. We will take credit for the accomplishment instead of bringing glory to God's name. Oh, how God wants us to protect and honor his name. We are his people. That is our assigned job. Always is to honor the name of our good God and to make it known so other people will be turned to him and his saving grace. So the rest of chapter 7, we see that Israel marches in. He gives him yet another sign to know that he has given the Midianite army into Gideon's hands, that Israel will defeat the Midianites. And you know how they do it? By the blowing of trumpets and the breaking of jars that had torches in them. Sounds a little bit like worship. Something that they had forgotten to do. They had forgotten to worship the sovereign Lord. Did you know that worship confuses our enemy? The Midianites ended up fighting against themselves because they were confused by worship to the sovereign Lord. When we acknowledge God as sovereign Lord of our life, Lord and Master, when we deal with our sin, He will give us peace. He will clothe us with a full measure of His Holy Spirit. For the God-given mission that He has given you, He will guide your every step. You can depend upon Him to lead the way, to answer your questions, to quell your fear or your doubts. Well, I want to end with this story of one of my heroes, and her name is Amy Carmichael. She was a very ordinary woman who lived into her mighty warrior identity with God. Amy was born in Ireland in 1867. She was educated at home by her mother and then in England at a college for girls. In her 20s, she became a missionary, first in China and then in Japan. But in both places, she became very ill and she was sent home. Now, Amy could have given up. She could have said, I'm living in the 1900s now, early 1900s. There's a lot of men in the field, not many women. It's too hard. I can't do this. It's obviously not God's will. The door shut twice to her calling as a missionary. But Amy had that mighty warrior mindset. It was the sovereign Lord that was calling Amy. The one that knew all of her days before one came to be. God had a calling on Amy's life that no one, absolutely no one, knew about. It was between her and the sovereign Lord. Anchoring herself in God's word and in prayer, she embraced her mighty warrior identity. And in 1895, she arrived in South India, and she never left. She was still a young woman. Very soon, she discovered her mission. Many children were dedicated to pagan gods by their parents or guardians. They became temple children living in constant danger. She immediately started gathering, rescuing these children, and by 1901, Amy had a home, a shelter for these children. Amy risked persecution by the government. She was shunned by many of the townspeople because she was rescuing babies and toddlers and children of all ages and women who were cast out of their home for helping her or poisoned. Teenagers sought refuge at the fellowship after devoting their lives to Christ. Even while their parents begged them to return, promising them wealth and jewels, they would not deny their Lord because Amy had shared something much more valuable with them, a life in Christ, an identity that was one of a mighty warrior. During her lifetime, Amy built a beautiful campus, you can see it online, with a chapel, which was established as Dunavor Fellowship, a Christian organization that provides health care, education, and community development. Amy, known as Amma. Amma means mother to all the hundreds and hundreds of children she cared for and saved. Amy's life was dedicated to caring for these children, to their spiritual needs, physical, educational needs. It said that Amy never asked for money, but instead, she prayed for God's provision for baby formula, for food and medicine for the children. Today, her great-grandchildren continue her legacy by dedicating their lives to sharing the love of Jesus Christ with others in need. And they are so proud to do this. They love their Amma so much. We're so grateful to Jesus for saving them. It's a beautiful story. 120 years later, one woman's decision to live into her mighty warrior identity, despite all the odds, continues to ripple throughout India, transforming lives through the power of Jesus Christ. God calls each of you as a mighty warrior. He wants you to live in your mighty warrior identity. so you can experience his peace, so you can be clothed with the power of his Holy Spirit. There is no other power, none, like that of our holy God and his Holy Spirit that he has given us by our belief and trust and faith and the surrendering of our lives to Jesus Christ. He wants you to move in God confidence. And I'm telling you, when we remove our idols and deal with our sin, we have a confidence that comes from nothing other than God. Nothing can compare with it. You just feel it. You have to experience it. It's supernatural. I love the song that we sang a while ago, New Wine. It's preparing us for 2022. Our worship prepares us. Prepares our mind, our heart, our hands, and our feet to do what God has called us to do. To be in that mission with him in our community, in our neighborhood, in this church. But then outside the walls of the church, we are called to a mission. You all are serving in mission in our community. That is to be applauded and affirmed. God is so proud of that. Encourage others in that. To serve outside the walls of this church. Acknowledge God as sovereign Lord. Deal with the sin. Don't wait. Be clothed in his Spirit and experience his perfect peace. He has a mission for you. He has called you to join him in this mission to build his kingdom and to trust that he will light your way each and every step. Will you accept his invitation to live as a mighty warrior? Let's go to God in prayer. Holy God, thank you for this powerful message from Judges 6, God, and Judges 7. Father, would you speak to each of us, God, right where we are? You are meeting us. You are convicting our hearts and our minds that we can be bolder, that we can march forward with you and not be afraid in that God-given dream you have given us, that you will affirm it through other people who are wise, and you will affirm it through your word and through the power of your Spirit. Lord, we march boldly into 2022 with our spiritual inheritance, with our identity given through Christ Jesus our Lord. If you believe these things, would you say in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.